This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Speak Up Effective Communication, the show on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network focused on elevating our communication and our leadership skills. And in our episode today, if you haven't had a chance to listen to episode 95 yet, you're going to actually have to go back because this is part two of a story and you're going to want the context. At the end of part one, I told you the story was about to get personal and that showed up in my driveway and I meant that quite literally. The word of the day for today's episode is solidarity. And I will define that word for you after we hear a word from our sponsors who make this show possible. Your partner in technology, Autoflow is able to enhance your client interactions before, during, and after the visit from a single thread. To see how Autoflow makes it simple, visit autoflow.com. Your trusted companion, ShopDog Marketing, is right by your side, attracting the best customers and building long-term growth. Call ShopDog Marketing today or visit shopdogmarketing.com. Unlock your communication insights with Inbound's AI-powered call analytics for auto repair shops. Learn more at callinbound.com. Want a more profitable shop? Start with your service advisor. They are the face of your business, the voice on the phone, and the key to every approved repair. ServiceAdvisorTraining.com is dedicated to giving them the tools and training they deserve. All right, we're back, and our word of the day today is solidarity, and that does mean standing with people, not from a distance, not in principle only, but close enough to feel what they feel. That's the word, and I earned a new understanding of it very recently this past week. Let me tell you about our vehicles. We're a Honda family, and we have been for a long time. I came up in the automotive service industry, as many of you know, including time at the family transmission shop with transmission specialty. Hondas became really popular for a little while. They had some transmission problems, but not anything else on the car was bad. And I realized what quality they were over so many things. And it's just a nice part of my education in this industry is realizing that, wow, Honda, Toyota too, superbly built vehicles and they hold up well in Michigan. Don't rust. So over the years of working on them, I learned, like any of us do in the industry, which vehicles are worth fixing and keeping, which ones will run forever with little maintenance, with a little sweat equity, if you will, and which ones you would want to walk away from. So Honda's earned my trust on that. And we've had our trusty 2002 Honda Odyssey for 15 years. The entirety of my youngest daughter's life, we've had that vehicle. It's now 270,000 miles on it. We also have a 2006 Honda Civic, also well over 200,000 miles. And both of them came to us because their previous owners didn't want to put money into transmission work or other repairs. And I knew what they had. I encouraged them to fix them, of course, but they didn't want to. I fixed them. I kept them. And that's how you build a transportation strategy when you know what you're doing and you save lots of money. So many in our industry understand this. And it's a really great position to be in when those opportunities come along and you can take advantage of those opportunities when they come along. But this past week and a half, both of those Hondas died for different reasons. They're just within really rapid proximity to each other either. And this is right during the busiest part of my travel season. I've had multiple trips to Texas here back to back, but kind of a week off, week of travel. And I'm presently in the week off before a week of travel right now as I record these. So the Civic had been struggling for a little while, bad starter finally, and it just won't start. Starter's in an awkward position. I don't want to tow it anywhere when I know I can take care of it, but I got to be able to get under. My son's always got the tools with him in the trunk of his car now, so it just never quite lines up to do a quick job on that. That's all right. We've got our trusty Odyssey to back us up, and along with a leased vehicle. We have a Subaru Solterra electric vehicle that we really enjoy. We're fine. I don't ever leave the house, hardly during the day, working from home as I do. My wife putzes around either in the Solterra or the Honda Odyssey. Our daughters, only one of them is a licensed driver right now. She can take one or the other. We're good with two cars, and my son has his own. So we're fine. I should add to this story, I did sell my motorcycle recently, though, because I knew that, like, hey, we've got transportation needs with the four-wheel vehicles, Bruin, so just clear that out of the way for now. Well, I never even have time to ride anymore, so it's just taking up space in the garage. Sad, I know, but it's okay. I will ride again. But here's the thing. I had returned home from a trip. That one was to Houston, a little after our spring break episode there. And I had gotten home. I had a ride from my son home because my wife is at one of her art shows. My daughter was off to the barn after helping my wife with an art show. And my son's gone for the day, but I'm home and I get a call from my daughter. The van quit and it was at the bottom of the hill. She was really close to the barn, good area of town. No real worries, but my wife was nearby enough as she wrapped up with her art course that she was able to go and rescue her, because I couldn't rescue her because when I went to go in the Civic, doesn't start. It's just the one click doesn't start too. Definite bad starter and had voltage and all the happy stuff. Ah, so terrible. I can't get out there and do it. My wife was able to get to the Odyssey just fine, and it started up and it ran miraculously. It's alive again. And my wife drove it home while my daughter drove the thing. They stayed together and I was talking to them the whole way and get it here. I cleaned up some rust on the battery terminals in the Odyssey, but we could never get it acted up again. Great. Two working cars again for the moment here. Busy, busy weekend. Lots of things going on other than taking care of that. Couldn't fix much more. So anyway, things continued all right with just the van and the Solterra for a little while. But as I'm getting ready to go to the San Antonio trip that I've now recently returned from, I was heading to the airport. My daughters, as I mentioned in episode one, their school, high school, charter school is right there at the airport. So I just decided to go a little bit early for my next trip and we'll drive. And we were in the Solterra because we wanted them to be in that instead of the Odyssey in case it did start acting up, especially while I'm out of town. Just made a lot of sense. And wife didn't have many places to go. So I'm driving the Solterra with them to school. Doesn't hurt to get to the airport a little early anyway, and it's a nice time with the daughters. Normally, I don't have to take them since one of them drives, but I was driving, and I'm so glad because we're sitting at a left turn lane not far from our house at a busy intersection, sitting there a good 20, 30 seconds, and bam, we get rear-ended. We're in our Solterra. It's the one good car. And it's like, it's just this jarring thing. First accident my daughters had ever been in, low speed. No one's hurt, not us or the person behind us. 19-year-old girl that is a new driver herself hit us. I don't know the circumstances exactly. She indicated there was something in the car. I suppose that's possible, but I suspect the something was a phone. And who knows? We got hit and that wasn't great. It's a very frustrating thing when you're going to the airport. But I was really glad to be there, so it's not three teenage girls sitting in the car wondering what to do. Very stressful when the vehicle that you are very much depending on is now damaged. And cops don't come out for a non-injury accident either. I had to fill out, I called 911, and they basically text me a link to fill out the accident report. I have to get the information from the other driver. Very cooperative. Nice young lady. Feel terrible for her too. Embarrassing, hard lesson, but fortunately no one's hurt. Over the course of figuring out an accident report while traveling, it's no fun juggling the insurance and all the things and the busy stuff that goes with this. But we're all okay. $4,800 of damage insurance and all the things, we're okay. And the car is still drivable in the meantime. Then it's prom night. So my daughter's going to prom later on that week. And well, you don't want to take in the Odyssey, obviously. So you take the Solterra. It's just got a dent in the fender. The thing's a tank. Handled the accident super great. We took pictures for her daughter's prom, and then my wife, my youngest daughter, and I went out to dinner. We had a nice sushi dinner. We're in the Odyssey. It doesn't start after our sushi dinner. The Odyssey does not start. Frustrating. It does eventually start, but it was just sort of one of those, you crank it, it starts running. It starts again. And it's like, oh my goodness, like raw gas. I don't know what happened. Yeah, I still don't know what happened with it because it just smelled like raw gas. The gas tank was super full. I don't know if it got overfilled or something else. A lot of things running through my mind at this high miles that we've had and the symptom that my daughter had that we could never duplicate before. But it starts again in the parking lot after several attempts of looking around, poking around, looking for anything I could. It just starts and it ran and it got us home. A little bit of a tire pull to the right I was feeling, but I remember that later because the story gets better. We make it home just fine. Everyone's home just fine. Sunday, I go to church. I ended up after church having to return an item to Best Buy, some lousy Meta smart glasses, which aren't very smart. That's another story too. And what ends up happening is as I'm leaving Best Buy, I pull out of the parking spot of the Odyssey and kunk, I hear something that sounds very familiar. And I just pull into a parking spot, then get out and I look around, left front looks good. I get to the right front, broken spring. Second time that's happened on this Odyssey with a broken spring. An aftermarket part, unfortunately, doesn't last 3 years in Michigan compared to the 15 years that the OE shocks and struts lasted in our climate. It's really frustrating to see that poor quality out of some aftermarket struts. But I'm done. I'm done with that car. And that Civic's still sitting home, not starting. And so it's like, good grief. All right. We have one decent vehicle now. We have the Solterra. And remember the ministry that we're working on. If you haven't listened to part one yet, we're working on a vehicle ministry for hardworking people in need, because a vehicle is a barrier to dependency and reliability that allows them to be self-sufficient. And here I am needing two cars. I want to be very careful with this, but because I'm good. I've got a network of family. They're letting us borrow a car while we continue our car search. There's my son, actually, he was working on the Civic out there while I'm doing recordings tonight. He wanted to take care of that starter himself. And God bless him for wanting to go crawl around on the driveway. You guys know those 2006 Civics with the 1.8. That starter is located on the back side of the transmission and the engine. You get at it from underneath, which is not fun when you're sitting on your own driveway. Not when you're 40 anyway. The 20-year-old handled it just great. He was very proud of it too. So it's very nice. He did get it running. So we actually have it, but it's got some other issues that it's still not reliable transportation. We need to replace the Civic. We need to replace the Odyssey. And I'm faced with more of an urgent need while I'm in the middle of travel and all this stuff. And it's just not something you can do quick. If you've looked at the used car market in 2026, it's time for today's Suck Less Spotlight from Autoflow. Today's spotlight is on Advisor Eye Twitches. Listen, clients like to stay informed throughout the repair process, and studies indicate clients are most satisfied receiving text updates versus phone calls. But call you they will, interrupting everything from estimating to quality conversations and your game of solitaire. That is, unless you text them first using Autoflow. With Autoflow's automated text updates, your phone only rings for the right reasons. That way, with less phone interruptions, your eye twitch will definitely suck less. For this and more things that could suck less, visit autoflow.com. Want to see your auto repair shop thrive? Are you looking to drive more customers to your auto repair shop? Let ShopDog Marketing be your guide. Our customer-first approach, combined with AI-driven creative content, ensures top rankings. Dominate mobile first and voice search with our specialized expertise. Reach out to ShopDog Marketing today and start growing your business. Don't miss out on this chance to boost your business. Visit shopdogmarketing.com. Inbound has exclusively served independent auto repair shops with expert communication solutions for years. Now, our robust VoIP platform ensures you stay connected while our industry-leading AI analytics take your business to the next level. We provide the tools you need to understand your customers and optimize every interaction. Choose Inbound. For proven expertise and unmatched innovation, visit callinbound.com and discover the difference we can make. What if you knew exactly what to say to the price shopper, the upset customer, the person who says they cannot afford it? Every day, service advisors lose customers not because of bad service, but because of the wrong words at the wrong moment. Words That Work is a free phone scripts playbook built for auto service professionals. Every script includes the reasoning behind it, so you understand not just what to say, but why it works. Grab your free copy at serviceadvisortraining.com. And all of this to tell you, this is why I am grateful for these experiences. Now, these were invisible problems that kind of came up quickly on these vehicles. I've had each of them in the shop recently, been underneath it, shaking tie rods and other things there. I'm aware of the things I don't want to address that aren't reliability issues that are just going to be, like these cars, is now getting to an unbearable point where I don't have the time to continually have to worry about this stuff. Used car shopping, turns out, is its own special kind of hell. This is not an experience that I have had to have in my life. And some of you that have grown up in this industry might be able to resemble this too, because the cars that you have are kind of the cars that come to you. And that has been my experience almost entirely. even the lease that we have on that Solterra is just a bargain. If those of you who don't follow the EV markets, I was able to get that super smoking sweet deal on a lease because they weren't selling, especially after the tax credits all started going away on those vehicles. And that was a bargain. Still is a bargain. I still may do another one like that. It's absolutely awesome. What is not awesome is the fact that any used vehicle that is available today is in that $10,000 price tag range. And it is astonishing to me the things that are even $15,000, $16,000, $17,000. If you're looking at dealer prices or even private trade online on any listings, look around at the prices of the used cars, and it is just appalling the dollars that it takes to have a rolling pile of garbage. And that is exactly what I recognize some of those vehicles out there are. You're talking vehicles very high miles with CVT transmissions in them that I wouldn't ever even contemplate spending $11,000 to $17,000 for, because you just buy it. It's not even a big mystery under the hood. I know what's under the hood. I know the odds, and that is not something I'm willing to go and dish out cash in order to have. I'd rather buy something broken and know at least what needs to be fixed to do it, and that those opportunities are so much harder to find. Take this back to the topic of OnRamp and what I'm looking to do with that ministry. And all I look at in this whole process is like, thank God for my support. Now, even our insurance company with the damage on the Solterra, when we have that off in the body shop, we get a rental coverage. Like, we're covered. We're good. I'm blessed. I am a wealthy man with just a baseline network of support in here. And that network of support is exactly the thing that a lot of people do not have. And they also have to look for a car in this horrible used car market today. I am just unbelievably convicted of, like, wow, the hardship that other people are feeling on this must be amplified even more. It's stressful enough for me just because of the time constraints that I'm under between traveling seasons to look and find, assess, and make a decision on a vehicle. That's the bigger time crunch than anything else for us right now. But it is awful. And when you don't know what you're looking at and you're trying to make the right decision, and then it turns out you make a wrong one, and these folks that might lose their job, because this is the other part of it. My daughter has a part-time job and she's got a tough manager right now. And I'm very thankful for this experience. My daughter's not yet able to be thankful for this experience. But you know the type of managers. It's just like really hard. And for teenagers, they don't thrive under hard managers yet. I think it'll strengthen her a great deal, and she could use it, but it's not awesome. And she already got a strike on her for being sick, legitimately sick. And this is at an old retirement home. So yeah, you don't go in sick to those places, but she didn't do the proper sick protocol exactly right. And so she got the thing, which is stressful for a teenage girl to go through this. And I thought, like, how easy it is for this young lady who's my daughter. I think she's super sweet, but like to have a strike on her like that, the stress that is, imagine if that was the stress of the vehicle getting her there. Fortunately, we had some backup cars, but that's exactly what a lot of people are experiencing right now with unreliable transportation, potentially hard managers, especially if you're in one of those more entry-level jobs where managers are not often the best managers in the world. So, wow, it's like all of these things, like, did I need the edification on this? Did I understand intellectually all of these challenges? Yeah, of course I get it. And I can speak to it to you right now. But experiencing it in the way that we're experiencing it all at once in a very busy time, it's eye-opening in a way that I've wound up just feeling very grateful for that experience. This is where I'm at right now. And I don't often do this with the podcast. I always like to just bring in some lessons on this instead of telling a story. And this is a busy, busy, hard story to tell because there's so many details and I could give you tons more that to even add to this. But look, here's what got me through the week and a half here, where basically three of our vehicles were all of a sudden effectively compromised. I have a family nearby who lent us vehicles. I have a rental through my insurance coverage with the Solterra while it's in the body shop. I have the financial position to be patient as much as possible, despite the need, the status of some of these cars. but to wait for that right vehicle instead of being forced into that wrong one. And I have 20 years of experience to avoid some of the mistakes that cost people thousands and thousands of dollars. And while it's still maddening and it's still exhausting, and I still felt the friction all through this time, during the same stretch, we feel very blessed. We have coverage. Now, if you do take that network away, the family with the loaner car, the insurance rental, the financial cushion, the expertise, and all that situation is an inconvenience, and that is how people are losing their jobs in many cases. That's tough. So, yeah, back in February, standing in Chris's shop at Golden Rule Auto Care in Rowlett, watching a 2018 Han Ozzy get handed to a Syrian refugee family with six kids, that was really moving. I understood the mission then of what OnRamp is trying to do, of what we're trying to do with the pilot program for that same ministry here in Grand Rapids, donating those vehicles to hardworking people in need. I understood it's life-changing for that family, but I understand it differently now. And standing where I am right now, it hits different. I've spent time in the used car market. I've felt the weight of like $20,000. It's a real free. It's a significant number. It's insane. But I feel protected. But if your transportation evaporates, and it can do so very, very, very quickly, it's a scary thing. But hey, this is teaching me something close anyways to solidarity. I would never say it's quite sympathy, because the network and everything else that I get to enjoy is there for me. And I just know that's not the case for everyone. I'm standing close enough to this, and I wanted to share it with you because I think it's good perspective for us to keep in our industry, especially in these times where the car costs aren't coming down, the gas costs aren't coming down. And it's I need this to be a reminder for those of you, especially behind the counter right now, that as you're advising, as you're counseling people on the repairs, do it with their best interests at heart, knowing that they may not always share those best interests, and understand that it's terrifying. That used car market right now is very, very hard for a lot of people, and they're trapped into making decisions on the one they own in some cases, and that's not a great spot. And you have a really great chance to help people in those situations right now. And if I were a service advisor today, I would count myself blessed for having the experiences that I'm having right now to really, really change the way I'm communicating with people that are experiencing it. You can't fully steward something you don't understand. And I understand this better now, I think, than I've ever experienced in my entire life. And that's a gift of God in my mind. There's no other explanation for all of it. I'm being edified and being taught things constantly. And I needed a hard lesson, I suppose. But hey, OnRamp is a ministry that gives reliable vehicles to hardworking people in need. Transportation is the need. It launched in Brazos County, Texas in 2017. It's expanded to Dallas-Fort Worth and other Texas communities, and I'm working to bring a pilot to Grand Rapids. If you're in West Michigan and you're listening to this and you want to know more, whether you have a vehicle to donate or something else, it's not about the vehicle that you donate. It's about what we turn it into, because we're going to do late model Hondas or Toyotas, ideally, even in this market. But yeah, if you, anyone, we need advocacy channels and other stuff as well. Please reach out. If you're looking to even start something in your community, I'll get you in touch with the people who can help you do that as well. There's undoubtedly all of you listening to this can imagine, oh yeah, our community, this would help people in it in a big way. I want to hear from you. Reach out to me, speakup@craigoneill.net. That's O-N-E-I-L-L, O'Neill. Speakup@craigoneill.net. And I'll close with this. The spring in that Odyssey broke in a Best Buy parking lot on my way home from church with me behind the wheel, not my daughter on a highway while I'm out of town. All right. And I sit and I think on these things all the time, and yeah, I could get frustrated about car problems, but the way these car problems happen, I feel protected and watched over. I hope that's going to be the case for anybody else out there as well. And I hope you all catch it all on your inspections. Some of these things are impossible to see, but look for them. Inconvenience was a mercy in this case, and a teacher. Hey, thanks for being here. I hope this resonates with you. I really do. Sharing stories like this isn't always my aim on the podcast, but it is my privilege to do so on this one. So on that, remember, listen to all the shows on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. You can download the free app at arpn.app, and just all the shows are so wonderful with all the hosts. I really am blessed to get to be in this network with these wonderful people. It is absolutely a part of my network. Carm Capriato with Remarkable Results Radio, podcast pioneer, started it all. To learn from him is to learn from a master, and I really appreciate that. Matt Fonslow, diagnosing the aftermarket A through Z. Interestingly, he was supposed to contact me late this evening to potentially do a recording, but I guess he's going to be doing a last minute solo episode for his next release. I don't know. No, we love Matt. Hunt Demarest, Business by the Numbers. And then Brian and Kim Walker, the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast, and the Weekly Blitz with Coach Chris Cotton. These are all wonderful shows full of free episodic learning for you. Thanks to our sponsors who make this show possible, AutoFlow, ShopDog Marketing, Inbound, and ServiceAdvisorTraining.com. We really appreciate you being on this mission to elevate communication and leadership in this industry. And I hope this story has elevated enough today. Get out there, folks. Thank you for listening. Listen up, speak up, watch for those lessons, I guess, to wise up to. I know I needed them. Thanks for being here.
You've been listening to Speak Up, Effective Communication with Craig O'Neill on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com because the best conversations in the industry start here. Check the show notes for Craig's YouTube channel and email. Let him know what topics you'd like him to speak up about.